Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. Happy New Year. It's great to be with you. My name is Nick Spazowski. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. Welcome if you're new and visiting us, or if you're online, welcome as well. It is a joy and a privilege to gather here with you in our first Sunday service, our first church gathering in this new year in 2022. Today is going to be a standalone talk. We're just doing kind of a one-parter before our series that we're starting next week. And today we're talking about a talk I've titled A New Beginning. A New Beginning. One of the things that I love about God is how he has ordered our world to have these kind of fresh starts that are just built in. I love that no matter how long or hard or horrible of a day you've had, there's always the next morning. Always a new start. Our bodies are designed to have to go to sleep. You have to do the reboot every day, which, as you know, if you are a computer person, that solves like 95% of computer problems, right? You just do the reboot. It's the first thing you try. And God has kind of built that in with our bodies. And no matter how bad of a day you've had, usually, more often than not, the next day is a little bit better than the previous one, at least. Start of a new week is similar, and a start of a new year, I think, is especially so as well. An opportunity that God has built in for a new beginning as well. So I'm curious, how was your last year? How was 2021 for you? And maybe a better way of framing that is how are you entering this new year? Fearful or hopeful? Anxious, depressed, joyful, purposeful. My guess from a lot of the conversations and interactions I've had with people and part of our community, and people part of the greater community of our city, is more likely than not, there's more fear than hope. There's more anxiousness than joy, more purposelessness than purposefulness. I bet we could use a new beginning, a fresh start. We could use to turn our eyes from the troubles of this life to our great God and Savior anew, to display faith anew in this new year, to choose to do so. My hope today is to show how the worries of this life rob us of so much and how we can put our hope and faith in God and his word and how that blesses us with lasting fruit, good fruit in our lives and those around us. Let us pray and ask God's blessing on our time. Dear Jesus, we invite you into this time, into this gathering of your church body to speak to us. Would you speak to each and every single one of us? I don't know where every single person is at this morning, how they're entering into this new year, but I pray that this time would you would work inside of us. You would stir our imagination. You would stir our souls to hope anew, to display faith anew this year, that we would believe you for great things, to move powerfully in our lives and in our church community as well. I pray in faith and ask you to bless our time together and our time in your word. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. I want to look at A pretty famous parable. It appears in three out of the four Gospels. It's a very important one. Jesus shares this in about the middle of his public ministry. And it's about, I think it's crucial to understanding about how different people can respond differently, have varied responses to God and his word. And I believe this parable explains how it's the condition of the heart, it's the condition of our heart that determines the effectiveness of God's word in our lives. And I think this applies to people who don't know Jesus yet and may never know him because of the hardness of their hearts. And it also applies to us as Christ followers, if you call yourself that, and the softness of our hearts and us continuing to have a soft heart. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew 13. It'll be up on the screens. If you don't, we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seed fell on the good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen, which is Jesus' way of saying, please pay attention to this. It's very important. Treasure this. Think about this. Let this sink in deep. The beautiful thing about this parable, it's one of the few ones that Jesus actually goes on to explain a little bit later. He shares this insight with disciples about what he means when he's sharing this story, this parable. In verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, talking about this first soil, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart, because it fell on this hard path. This is the one sown along the path. The one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. And I've seen this happen to people I've loved dearly and poured into. Distress or persecution, which is very prevalent in our times, if you call yourself a Christ follower, as it has been in all times since Jesus was here, since that's what he experienced, and people walk away from the faith because of that. Now, this last one is one I'm going to kind of really focus on today, because I think this is very, very apropos for our times. So now the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. I want to focus on those last two soils. Matthew 13:22 again, it says, now the one sown among the thorns, this kind of thorny soil. You know, picture a plot of land that just has thorns growing all over it. This is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Some strong language, isn't it? You know, thorns and worries of this age, deceitfulness or pleasure of wealth, other translations say, choke the word. It can't get any air, can't breathe, or can't get any light as well if it's all covered by this thorns. It becomes unfruitful. It can't produce good fruit. I think this type of soil describes our day and age so well, doesn't it? With all the fear and uncertainty we have currently going on with the pandemic, the allure of wealth and comfort in our time and culture as well to escape. What are some of the worries of this age? Just go ahead and shout them out. We'll do a little crowd participation in this well. So when you think of worries of this age, what comes to mind? Just shout out the first thing that comes to mind. And I'll repeat it for the sake of those who are listening. Yeah, not enough money, for sure. Anything else? Health, yep, definitely. Big one nowadays. Loneliness, yep. Any others come to mind? Was that mental health? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, COVID, health, that's a big one. Job security or job stress. Family drama or dysfunction. Children turning out okay. Relationship drama. Politics, sports teams, social media, your image and reputation, are all things that can cause an increased worry and anxiety, especially the more we focus on them. It just seems to kind of get worse and worse. As you think about those things and hear those things, can't you kind of feel your throat constricting a little bit? Like it's a little harder to breathe like normal. Kind of the ironic thing with COVID is it, like, when you get it, if you get it really bad, it actually makes it hard to breathe. One of the ongoing afflictions of it, if you've had it, is shortness of breath, right? It takes a while to even recover from that. And this kind of black cloud of this thing, and it kind of the ebbs and flows of it, and we're kind of in this current kind of spike right now with the Omicron variant. It can kind of have that same sort of effect, right? Makes it hard to breathe easy, and just mentally. on spiritually, even if you don't have it. The other descriptor for the thorny soil is this deceitfulness or pleasure of wealth. You ever wonder why is wealth deceitful? Or why is it described as deceitful in this passage? I think it's because it promises a lot, doesn't it? Falsely promises a lot. It promises security, peace, happiness. In the deceitfulness of wealth category, I would put things like the size of your bank account and worrying about that can really choke out the word. I was looking at some of our accounts after the holidays, after Christmas, and I was like, man, boy, these numbers, they don't look so good. They don't look so hot right now. It's not adding up right. I think we might have overdid it on the holidays a little bit. That's all right, it's fine, we'll be all right. But it was just that feeling, I feel that kind of stress, right? And begin to worry about, you know, how are we going to make this all work? It's hard to focus on the Lord when you're focused on things like that. Or maybe, you know, in that category of wealth, I might put even travel plans and putting your hopes in traveling a lot. Or getting the perfect job, which, by the way, doesn't exist, okay? There's no perfect job out there. They all have problems and flaws because they usually or always do involve people. We all have got our sinful nature, no matter what. Or overworking, right? Like overworking. Ties to that deceitfulness of, well, if I just work more and make a little bit more, then I'll be happy. But that robs us of so much connection with our loved ones, doesn't it? Or socializing, making all the right connections. Money opens up the right doors. It's, again, all these deceitfulness, all these lies that's related to money. And also here, I put like things like escape or the pleasure side of wealth. You know, I can party and have as much fun as I want to if I just have enough. Or I can have more leisure time, which usually ends up just leading to languish time on your phone or social media or streaming service of choice. That's what I've found, at least. How much did all those things, the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth, choke off connection with God this past year for you? I think it's a sobering question. I think one worth taking stock of as we begin to look toward the new year. How much did all those things choke off connection with God this last year? Can you think about that and try to answer that honestly to yourself? For me, if I'm being brutally honest, probably a lot more than I'm willing to admit. Times I've gone to those sorts of things and focused on worry instead of going to the Lord. From my experience, the older we get, the more there is to worry about. The more there is to be fearful about, and the more wealth there is to potentially deceive us. Could you use a fresh start? Could you use a new beginning to set aside those things that are choking out fruit, and focus on Jesus instead? I think I could. All those things keep us from becoming more like Jesus, who is the very embodiment of the Word of God himself. Just take in these words from John 1. They're not going to be up on the screen, but you know, maybe close your eyes and just take in these words and let them sink deeply for a moment. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You can open your eyes. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus came and ushered in a new beginning that we all needed and we all need to come back to time and time again. Let's come back to how our main passage ends. Matthew 13:23 says, but the one sown on the good ground, this is one who hears and understands the word, which again we just alluded to, represents Jesus, who does produce fruit and yield some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. So it's the one who hears and understands the word, Jesus, that produces a fruitful harvest in their lives and to those around them, 160, 30 times what was sown. You see, hearing and understanding the word allows you to breathe easy. That's what brings the peace and security that we're all looking for. My question for you is, do you take the time to hear from God, to hear from Jesus? Simply, you know, to just even time to just read your Bible, take in the words of God. Time to sit in prayer and give those worries over to the Lord and hear encouragement from him instead to replace them. How about taking the time to understand Jesus and his word? Not just to read it, but to understand it, to really wrestle with it, let it sink deep. Meditate about the kind of person he was and is, the kind of life he lived on this earth. The time to study his word deeply. The time to sit and learn from others, like on a Sunday morning, is what you're doing right now, actually. We're sitting together at the feet of Jesus as we wrestle with his word, as we take it in, or at home group together as well, or in discipleship groups. Time to think about it throughout the week or talk about it with your brothers and sisters in the faith, around a dinner table maybe, or pray about the parts you don't understand. That's all putting this into practice and tilling our soil, clearing out those thorns, and having that good soil that the word of God can plant deeply in and produce fruit in. Will you believe God for a fruitful yield? Will you believe God for a fruitful yield this year? Maybe 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold in your life. I want to believe him for that. I want to believe he can do that, no matter what. Matthew 13:31-32 says this a little bit later in that same chapter. It says, presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. Mustard seed is this tiny, tiny seed if you've never seen one. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when grown, it is taller than the garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I love the picture that Jesus paints and gives us. What a gift, right? The tiniest seed, the tiniest little bit of faith can grow and have this huge harvest in our lives. The very brief version of my story and testimony is I did not grow up going to church, knew hardly anything about God or Christianity or Jesus. I didn't even know what the point of Christmas was until a girlfriend in high school told me and kind of asked me, and I was embarrassed to say, I'm not sure, is it the presents? I like the presents part. That's pretty cool. I know that's when Jesus was born. We're celebrating him as a gift. Oh, cool. Awesome. Thanks. And I started, some friends started reaching out to me later in high school. I started going to church. I came to Saving Faith at the end of high school and in college, involved in church here, came to a deeper understanding of what the gospel was and what Jesus has done for each of us when he went to the cross and he died for all of our sin to offer us his free gift of salvation, this new beginning that he offers to each and every single one of us, a slate wiped clean. And man, did I need that, because I had made some horrible mistakes in my life up until that point. And the gospel began to take root, and it began to grow and go into all the different parts of my life. I got more and more involved in our church here and sharing my faith and trying to know and read the Bible and know this Jesus who is my Savior. Fast forward many things and many years for the sake of time. I don't have time to get into all of it. But I decided to go on staff with our church because I felt like God was calling me to give my life to this. And he can call us to give our lives to him and go into many other professions. But for me, that was my particular call. And I became a pastor here. Met my wife and trying to raise our family in the faith as well. And all of my friendships that are deep friendships, meaningful friendships, based in the faith, based in Jesus. It is Jesus and the gospel and this faith has infiltrated every part of my life, and I think has also led to impacting others and helping others as well. It has become this kind of large tree that has covered everything, which I'm really thankful for. And at the same time, I still find myself drawn into some of those areas that are those thorny things, the worries of this world and deceitfulness of wealth. And I find myself for sometimes a day, sometimes a week, sometimes for a whole season, not in the best place, not really focusing as much as I should on understanding, hearing and understanding the word. And I find myself needing to come back to the gospel again, needing to come back to God's grace. That's the beautiful thing, is he offers it to us. He offers us as many new beginnings as we need. That's the beauty of his love for us and his patience and his grace for us as well, which is amazing. So as I wrap up, I wanna just challenge you with one practical challenge. Is would you consider asking God for one faith goal this next year? Would you consider asking him for one thing that you can believe him for, maybe even pray for every day until he moves and does this thing that he's putting on your heart? Maybe it's along the lines of worship, community, and mission. Those are our three lifestyles as a disciple that we talk about here as part of our discipleship pathway of following Jesus. You know, worship, our Sunday morning service is meant to really be like a catalyst for our lives to worship the Lord, not just on a Sunday, but every moment of our lives. And community, our home groups are meant to build that, right? Build that sense of community and commitment to it. And mission is meant to be lived out at all times outside of the church in our gatherings when we're called to love our neighbor and make disciples of Jesus. So for your faith goal, maybe it's an area of worry and anxiety that has been choking life from you. And you want to hand that over to the Lord. Maybe it's attending church service in person this next year, if that's not something you have been doing consistently. Maybe it's serving in a greater capacity in the church. You know, the guys shared today about the need we have for people to serve in our New Life Kids program and love the least, the smallest disciples in our midst. Maybe it's committing to a home group if you haven't done that yet. Maybe it's loving a neighbor in your life who you've felt like, man, God is putting this person on my heart to get to know and to serve. Or maybe it's sharing your faith with a friend you've been afraid to do so yet. God is asking that of you. I don't know what it might be. I don't know what a good faith goal might be for you. But during this last worship set, and I want to invite the band to come back up now. I want to challenge you to search your heart and ask that question of the Lord. What might you be calling me to believe you in faith for this year? And if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, then you have the Holy Spirit residing within you. So ask that Spirit, ask him, what faith goal would you have for me? And listen in faith. And to do that, during these next couple of songs, if you hear something, I encourage you to write it down because that helps you make it more real, maybe even share it with a friend. If you don't hear anything, that's totally fine. I encourage you to take a step this next week and keep asking God about that. I'd love to just end by sharing some more of Jesus' words with you. Again, they're not going to be up on the screen, and I just want them to sink in. Just love to encourage you to hear them, to try to understand them, to have a soft heart, because these words are for you. They're for me. They're for each of us. This is from John 14 and 15. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. These are the words of Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do and will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him. He remains with you and will be in you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. That is what Jesus has done for us, right? He has laid down his life for each and every single one of us, no matter how horrible our story is or no matter how much we're struggling today. He has laid down his life for each and every single one of you. So if you haven't, well, during this next few songs, I totally forgot to grab one. I invite you to come up and get one of these communion cups. So we're going to remember what he did for us. Little piece of bread wafer in here that symbolizes his body that was broken for each and every single one of us to take our sin upon himself. And the juice symbolizes his blood that was poured out to wash us clean, to give us that new beginning that we all need and to point us to believe him in faith, that he can do great things in our lives. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done in our lives. We thank you so much for the gift that you gave us. And on that last night, that last supper, where you said, take this, take my body and this wine, eat and drink and remember what I have done, the forgiveness I offer you, the relationship, the connection, the love that I have for you. We thank you so much for all that you've done. We pray these things. In your name, amen.